Freeform Radio back here. Welcome, everybody. This is Freeform Radio from the Freeform Network. You can follow us on Facebook at Freeform Network, on Twitter at FFR Podcast. Send us in those tweets, man. We love hearing them. Andy's in charge of the social media, and he loves seeing all that shit, man. He loves hearing his phone pop.
Pam, it's always ping, ping. Popping.
Or what's it give you? A little chirp, right? Because I don't really use Twitter too much.
It goes...
it does that whistle, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does the whistle.
Yeah, yeah. But also, send in those questions to ffnquestions@gmail.com. Let us know how we're doing, man. Send us in your feedback, things that you want us to talk about, or just general, how's the show going, things that you would like for us to do. Also, visit our friends at 1893 Coalition, Intellectual Nonsense, and Enthusiast Project. But again, this is Freeform Radio. I am one of your hosts. My name is Daniel. Right here to the right of me is...
Hey, everybody, it's Noel.
And right over here...
Sad Andy today.
Sad Andy. Oh, man. Was it the snow yesterday, man?
The snow bummed me out last week, or yesterday. So, it was weird weather.
No, for sure, man. Yeah, that's the Chicagoland weather for you, man. We'll get snow, and then the very next day today, we're expecting 60 degrees. So, you know, explain that global warming for you, you know.
Well, it was just real quick. It was just, it would snow like hard for like 10 minutes, and then like the sun would come out and it'd melt everything, and then it'd snow again real hard and the sun would come out and melt. It was just, I've never seen nothing like that.
Yeah, I think it was because of the wind. It was so windy and the wind was very cold that it froze the rain like as it dropped, but the ground wasn't that cold because, I mean, it wasn't that cold of a day. It was like 30, 40s. So, yeah, it was really weird. But you were mentioning how you changed oil. Were you changing it yesterday? Well,
no,
that big snowstorm, man?
I changed the oil. You know, how hard can it be to change oil? Apparently, it was kind of difficult for my truck. I couldn't get, I changed, I don't know how many times I changed oil, hundreds of times. And, shouldn't have taken me more than about half hour. The way I do it, holy shit, it took me like 2 hours, man. I couldn't get the filter to come off to save my life.
Did you buy the old one? Did you get that Fram grip one?
The no,
one
with that rubber that's the thing. Side I on got it? A, well, it is started. I'm like, I got to change the oil. So I went and bought the filter and oil thing special that they had. So then I get home and then... I get mad because I see I already had a filter in the garage, which I completely forgot about. So I'm like, man, I just wasted $6. So I'm like, should I go take this back? I'm like, eh. So I'm like, I'll start changing my oil. And then, dude, I could not. I get under there, open it up, let the oil out. I could not for like a good hour, dude. I couldn't get that fucking oil filter to spin to unloose. I couldn't loosen it up.
Now, was it just like a generic one with like a plastic exterior? Or do you
yeah,
know what I'm
just,
talking
yeah,
about?
It's the standard
that Fram
smooth,
grip
it wasn't
one.
The Fram Sure Grip one. It was just a cheap one. It was like, I think an STP one or something.
You know what I'm talking about, Noel? Have you seen those?
I think I'm familiar with it, yeah. There's usually ones that use a tool to get off, though, don't you?
Yeah. So I couldn't, I couldn't get the thing to spin. And then I brought out the oil thing, the gripper, I
the
guess
gripper thing,
yeah, to loosen it, and of course it was too big, and I couldn't.
That's what she said.
I was just jamming shit up in there, and then it was I couldn't get a good handle on it, and needless to say, I was down there for like 2 hours, and then by the end of it, I just said, "The hell with this, man."
Yeah, that grip thing, it looks like a 9 or something, and it's supposed to be where once you twist it, it gives the grip on the filter.
And like, if changing the oil shouldn't take me more than a half hour, man. I was there for like 2 hours in the morning, and then a couple weekends ago, and I'm just like, what the hell, man? Like, this shit's ridiculous. I should be done with this. And then I went to buy another tool, and that didn't help. So I said, to hell with them. I'm going to just leave it on there.
So you ended up leaving on there the
oil
filter?
Yeah, I just changed the oil. I left the oil filter. Like, I'll see if I could... there's a way or something, I'll deal with it. But like I said, I'll probably get a new car in the next coming months, so I'm not
you're not stressing out
it.
So much about it.
You know, sometimes they say if you try to tighten it and then loosen it, for some reason that...
Oh, I did all that, man. I put, I tried to put like something over it to get a better grip. I did all this crap, and it wouldn't turn, man.
Were you smoking at the time? Were
I think if I did, it would have calmed me down more, but I was ready to like flip my truck over, man.
Oh, yeah. I've seen people jam a screwdriver in there to try to get, like, leverage and kind of give it a spin.
That was my last resort, and I'm just like, man, like, I don't want it. With my luck, it's a cheap one, so I'll get it in there, and once I start spinning, I'll probably rip up the metal even more and stuff.
Yeah, and then it gets stuck in there, and then you can't get it out.
I'd really be screwed, so that's why I didn't do that, but I was ready to do that.
Shit, it was that, man.
To that point of, like, of frustration, and I was just like, fuck this, man. I don't care. I'm like, I'm buying a car in a couple months anyway. I don't care.
Well, I don't know if it got cut off in that episode that I was talking about, but I was trying to change my oil too, but I took it to the Walmart oil change place.
Yeah.
And they said they couldn't take it out because it needed some special filter tool or something.
When I went to buy that other tool, it did say a special tool for oil filters for Toyota brands.
Oh, okay. So there was a thing there.
I did see it was kind of weird. I never seen anything like that, but it was different.
Yeah, I just recently did my oil change too, but I took it to another Walmart, the one that had originally changed it for me, and they didn't make mention of anything. They changed my oil. I was in and out like 30 minutes.
I think that you just went there towards the end of the day and they're ready to go home and drink beers.
I always wonder, man, like, do they say they change your oil and then they don't do shit? And I think I've even seen a few years ago, like, you know, 2020 investigation and
I think the oil, it's pretty simple for them, but like I would be more nervous if like for a tune-up.
Yeah, I think it was more towards like alternators and batteries and stuff like that, and they would like put a mark on the old one to see if they would actually change it, and they found out that a lot of cars, they would not change it. They would say they did, but they didn't. And even like the Walmart thing, I don't want to crap on them because I mean it's the cheap of the cheap for the cheapest oil change you can get. But it's supposed to include the vacuuming of my carpets, and the two times that I've taken it there, I have not gotten my vacuum. So a little disappointed on that end, but hey, what do you want for, you know, a couple bucks?
Come on, man. Just tell the fucking guy vacuum this shit too while you're at it.
I've thought about going back in there, but I'm like, is it really worth it just to get a 50 cents vacuum?
Don't they put, if you put by the air filter there, or they put it in there for free too?
Yeah, they'll install the air filter and the... Any kind of stuff that you buy, you know, usually they'll swap it out for you. Except tires. Tires, they charge you like $8 per tire or something. Yeah, I forgot what it is.
What I've done, because I've had a similar situation when I go take my car to get oil changes or whatever, you know, service it needs. There's some times where they mess out on stuff like that. Like, it's supposed to come with a car wash when you get a certain service.
Yeah.
And the carpets, they don't clean it, but the car they do, and they wax it and everything. It's nice because I got that fucking, like, superior level auto guard detail, whatever the hell it is. Yeah. So the last few times they haven't done it, so the third time I actually took it and I told them, before I even left it there, I'm like, hey, this includes this and this, right? The car wash, the auto guard, all that. He's like, yeah, it includes it. I'm like, all right, sounds good. And I made sure to look, make eye contact, like, you have promised me this. So like now I can bitch at you if it's not done. In my mind, that's what I'm saying, right?
No, sure.
But I ended up getting back and it was done. But I think it's more that, you know, he acknowledged it. Like, all right, I'm aware of it now.
Damn, Noel went old school. Look at me when I talk to you, I say.
Yep, some blood in, blood out shit.
I'm pretty chill, but if, like, people fuck with me, yeah, I get in my zone. Like,
no,
hey,
yeah.
Talk to me, hey. You're going to clean those carpets, all right? Yes, sir. Hey, look at me.
Now, when I've gone to the dealer, they usually do a good job. I mean, they better for paying $50 or whatever it is for an oil change. Yeah. But, they usually do the whole nines, like Noel said, you know, they'll vacuum and wash your car and all that good stuff.
You look at them in the eye too, man?
No, I just look down on the ground. Oh, you going to wash my car?
No, I'm telling you, when I did get my burrito the other day, I did look at that girl in the eyes, like, I want it with sour cream and guac, all right? And I looked, like, look at me.
It's like, look at me. I'm in charge.
But, Andy, you also mentioned that you're gearing up today, man. It's the big WrestleMania. By the time this drops, WrestleMania will be over. But for us here, WrestleMania's today, man. Are you excited, man?
Well, yeah, it's our Super Bowl for us wrestling fans. The only thing I'm not... looking forward to it. It's a 4-hour show, and then they have like a 2-hour pregame or pre-show thing. So it's like 6 hours of wrestling. I don't know if I could watch that much, but I did. I'm not excited. They do have they don't have a lot of star power this year, but there's a couple matches I am excited for with Undertaker and Shane McMahon, and then
Shane O'Mac.
I want to see what Triple H is going to do with Roman Reigns, and I'm actually Jericho and the AJ Styles match. That's probably one of the ones I want to check out. And then,
so you're not excited for the girls' match or the Usos wrestling somebody? I don't know who.
I think that's the
prelims.
The prelims. The prelims is the.
It's on USA something, right? Or
no, it's gonna be on like YouTube or something. Or Facebook.
Because I heard it's gonna be live somewhere or free.
It's on like, the network, but it's gonna be available streaming live on, I think, like on YouTube or something.
Yeah, yeah. You don't have to have the membership. You can watch it for free.
So, I gotta sign up. I do want to check it out because my subscription expired about a month ago. But I do want to check it out. And we'll see. But I don't know if I'm gonna watch the pre-show thing because that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's probably starting right now. There's probably something on the network about it or something. Some kind of countdown show. Right.
Just like I said, there's a lot of rumors going around. I know like The Rock's going to be there, but they're not really saying what he's doing.
That's what I find kind of weird. It's in Texas. The Rock has been confirmed to be there, but in what capacity? And there was also a lot of rumors about Steve Austin maybe doing a run-in or kind of showing up or doing something. Yeah. So, yeah, it's going to be cool, man. There's really not a lot. A buzz about what they might be doing, so it'd be cool to see what they're gonna do.
They have a lack of star power right now because they have a lot of people that are injured, and then like the other big one, Cena has been cleared medically cleared to wrestle, but so now they're saying if he's gonna be there or not, and then so I don't know. It'd be interesting. I do want to check it out. I try to watch WrestleMania every year. That's probably one of the few. Pay-per-views, I still
special watch event,
or special event, whatever they're called now.
Yeah, it's not a pay-per-view.
Because, it's WrestleMania, man. So every year, since I was a kid, my dad never ordered it. We never ordered it. I had to go rent the VHS tapes or something or get it from somebody at school, but I try to watch them.
Yeah, I was hoping for Sting to come back, dude, because, like, that's kind of who I grew up watching. It was in WCW, it was Sting, Hulk Hogan, you know, it was Kurt Angle on WWF, and a few others, but
that's a rumor that Angle might be there tonight with Shane McMahon.
Yeah,
that's the one of the big rumors right now.
Well, they had that legendary WrestleMania match like a decade ago or something where he put him through that glass.
Yeah, that was
was that WrestleMania?
Yeah,
it was King of the Ring or something.
Yeah, I know it was one of those big pay-per-views or whatever, and he threw him through that glass. So they've had some memorable matches. And to be honest, that whole Shane return thing, I thought that that's how they were going to play it. He's going to come back with a wrestler, and the wrestler would be taking all the bumps, and then Shane would just be like the mouthpiece. But it looks like Shane's going to actually wrestle, and he's going to jump off of something or do something crazy because he loves doing Raw, high spots.
This past Monday, he jumped off the edge of the ring, one of the turnbuckles all the way to the announcing table, and he just barely cleared him.
Yeah.
You could tell they were gassed, and when he jumped, he just like, you could see like halfway, he's like, holy shit, I'm barely going to make it. And then like he moved.
He just stretched his hand out.
Hand out to say it dropped the elbow on him. But he just like slapped him on his chest and he just landed on that table. And you could tell, he needs a little bit more practice. He ain't like in his mid-20s or early 30s no more. He's over 40.
But he looks jacked, man. I follow him on Instagram or something. And man, he looks huge, man. He looks like he's in shape.
Yeah, I think he's juicing, but yeah, he is ripped for his age.
No, for sure, man. And then Sting, like you said, Noel, he came out yesterday for the Hall of Fame inducted because he was inducted to the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. And I think he mentioned something about retirement, right, Andy?
Because the rumor is that he's done wrestling, but his neck, he had some like neck fusion surgery or something, and the rumor is that he was done, but he never really announced it. But everybody, he kind of told him, like, I'm not really going to wrestle no more. And then, like, a week or two ago, he came out and said, I've never said that I'm retiring. Like, yeah. I can still go.
Yeah, he was on, like, TMZ, and they asked him, and he was just like, I never said I retired. Those are just rumors.
Yeah.
And then I read a little snippet this morning on the news, and in his acceptance speech, he said something like, this isn't goodbye, it's just see you later or something like that. So, you know, it's kind of weird. Is he really retiring or does he got one more in him?
If it was me and I already had that surgery and all that, I would be thinking I need to get the best, like, bang for my buck. So I'm not going to wrestle every single day, but I'll wrestle when it's, like,
worthy. One more big payday.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, sure. Well, he wrestled last year against Triple H, and, man, he did not look... He just looked old. I mean, we saw him.
These are old guys.
We saw him at the Sears Center a couple years ago, and he was younger, but he was still a little bit more mobile. But Yeah, he's getting up there, man. He ain't what he used to be, but I get it. But it's a nostalgia thing. But I wouldn't mind seeing that match with Undertaker, but I don't think that's going to happen now. Yeah. They should have done it last year, but Triple H wanted to come in there and bury him.
Well, after Hogan does so many leg drops on Sting, you know, sooner or later, he's not going to get up so quickly.
I mean, but wrestling in general, it's not as fake as people think, dude. It's like they're stuntmen, I would say. In my mind, that's kind of what I see them as. Where you're taking stunts, it's choreographed, but it's still risk involved.
And oh, for sure. You
can definitely get hurt. So.
Oh, hell yeah.
So, well, that's the whole thing. We'll see. He'll probably be there. I'd be interested to see if he does like a run-in or anything, but I don't think so.
It'd be cool to see if Hogan returns. I know that was a kind of rumor, too, that he might come back, especially with all that Gawker stuff behind him, and he won that lawsuit. He
leg-dropped Gawker.
Yeah. That he might actually do, like, a run-in or show up or just be a mouthpiece or I don't know what he would do. Yeah. But it's going to be interesting to see, man. I'm with you, man. I'm kind of curious to see it just because there's so many unknowns. Usually by the time the show's rolling around, you already heard whispers of like these three things and, you know, this is going to happen or that's going to happen. But I haven't heard anything. So it's
well, I just gonna be heard, curious. I heard that they're close to 100,000 tickets sold or something, or 100,000 people are going to be there.
Yeah, because like, it's the largest crowd, right? Or something like that.
I know.
Is it bigger than WrestleMania 3?
They're like right up against it with tickets sold. I heard that they sold already. Like 2 weeks ago, I heard they sold over 80,000 already, and they already comped like 10,000.
Oh, wow.
So they're seeing, they're hoping for a big drive today, push up today, because there's still tickets available, because they could hold up to over 100,000.
Oh,
so
sweet.
That's what they're hoping for. And so I don't know. It'd be interesting seeing if they do get it. I don't think so, but I know they're going to be right up against it.
I haven't seen WrestleMania in quite a couple of years. Do they still do like a halftime kind of show thing?
No, they don't do that. You're talking about like when the Super Bowl, when there's like a halftime wrestling match?
Not like a halftime wrestling match, but like they do like live acts, like music and stuff.
Oh, you know what? They haven't announced any music.
They haven't done that, but yeah, that's usually like a WrestleMania thing.
Yeah, they've done that.
They have like a mini
everywhere.
Concert.
Yeah, they do have a concert and all that, but I haven't seen them this year, who they announced, if they have announced anybody. But I imagine they're having a musical act.
Cool, man. Also, so you're going to pick up the wrestling subscription so you can see that. Did you see any Groupon deals for that, man? Any Groupon
deals? Right now, if you sign up, for all you people who had it and didn't sign up under a new email, then they'll give you another free month. Then you can watch it. But I don't know if you got put your credit card in already. But I know I bought the gift card. So just in case after my free month, I want to use the gift card.
Oh, cool, man. Well, speaking of Groupons, man, you were mentioning how a couple have expired on you, man. You lose track of these massive Groupon deals that you've been buying.
Well, you know, I'm a big Groupon user guy, and I've been...
Not a Lifesaver, or what's the other one?
Living Social?
Living Social, yeah.
I think they went... Well, they're still around. I know. I heard a rumor they went under, but they're like, the CEO came out, this is not true. But they laid off like 80% of their staff or something. And then... I do have a lot of Groupons, and after work on Friday, I went to a burrito place, and afterwards, I'm like, damn, I think I have Groupons for here. I didn't even check, and then I saw them, like, yeah, I had, like, three of them, and then I have another one for, like, this pizza place, and then I'm like, man, when the hell am I going to go to all these places? Like, I just buy them, and I get mad at myself because I forget about them.
Yeah, same thing happened to me. I think I got one for that same burrito place that you mentioned, Andy, and then... I had one for a pizza place last year that expired on me, and I totally forgot about it, and now you're stuck. Now, you could still get back the money that you put into it, but you don't get the deal anymore. So if it was like, pay $5, get a $30, you know, gift certificate or whatever, you no longer get the deal. You just get the $5 that you put into it. So you still don't end up losing, but it kind of sucks that you lost the deal because you forgot about it.
Well, that's the thing. Like lately, the last couple, they've been offering like 20% off coupons and stuff recently, or 20% off your purchase. So when I get those, I usually see what's around that I want to try, and you're still saving some more money. But I forget about them.
Oh yeah, I think it happens to everybody. I know it happens to me. But Noel, you were making mention earlier this week, you're receiving some negative feedback for one of your comments from the last episode.
Shock Jock Noel.
Yeah, man. The controversy of Noel's comments.
It wasn't the biggest deal. I just got a couple of comments about how we were talking about, you know, people texting back and taking an hour to text back. So I told these people I wasn't even talking about them. So I got a couple messages and they were saying, oh, hey, you know, I was listening to the podcast and, yeah, you know, I don't message you back right
first
away.
First of all, thank you for listening.
And they said, it's like, I don't message you back right away because, you know, I'll be either working or this or that. And I just started laughing. I'm like, I was just kind of joking around, dude. Like, I wasn't being specific about anybody. It was kind of a general thing that I was, like, reading about. Like, it's a trend that people, they don't want to respond right away because they want you to have, like, this feeling that they're busy, you know, like they have something going on right then and there. And that, to me, is, like, that trend is just, it's not needed.
Did you send them the angry face emoji? Did you reply with them with that?
Nah, man, I should have, right? I should have sent them.
And
like
then
a,
they'd
a
be
gift.
Like, what the hell is going on, man?
Well, the way I kind of perceived what you were saying, it's not really that people are taking too long. It's just that people do it on purpose. You know, obviously, if you're busy or you're doing shit, or even me, sometimes people text me and, you know, I'm doing something, so I don't go running to my phone if I hear it. Or even if people call me, I don't go running to my phone. If I'm in the middle of something, I hold off, I wait, and then I go when I get a chance, because the phone is my convenience for me to communicate with other people. And so that's the way I perceive it, you know. So, but if you do it on purpose, like if you get a text and you're like, well, let me give it the hour buffer I need to give it, or let me, you know, wait this amount of time because it's too soon to text back. I don't do any of that. Obviously, if I get a chance and I'm you know, if I got the moment, then I'm going to reply and I'm going to do what I got to do. So that's the way I perceived it. So to me, it made sense. Now, obviously, you know, if people do wait and, you know, let me wait the 24 hours that you're supposed to so you can text back a chick or something, that I don't agree with all these games. You know, you got to wait a certain
man.
Amount of time.
Yeah, for
you
me,
send the emojis. You don't even got to type nothing. You send a picture.
For me personally, like I don't really have to deal with that in my life, thankfully. Like people, when they respond. I'm not like waiting, counting the seconds. It's like, you know, when they get a chance to respond, that they do. My friend that messaged me, I told him, like, it wasn't even directed at anybody specific. I'm like, when I message you about like UFC or something, message me back when you can. Like I don't really care.
No, yeah, for sure. No, well, we appreciate the feedback, man. I mean, that's what this podcast is about, I think. We personalize a lot of stuff because obviously it's about our lives, and that's what we talk about the majority of it, as well as articles. So we appreciate the feedback, man. We appreciate comments. Keep them coming in, man. We want to know what you think. We want to know your feedback or your thoughts on it as well. But jumping into a little bit of my week, I got to send thanks to a coworker of mine, Dan. He ended up giving me one of his old beds that he had, a king size bed that he just recently got a hold of, but he didn't end up using it or liking it as much because Dan's got a few back issues, or his back's kind of, you know, sensitive because he had a couple accidents or whatever back in his youth. So he tried it out. He didn't really like it. So he offered it to me. He's like, hey, man, if you want this king size bed, I'm going to come use this other one. And I've never had a king size bed, so I was just like, sweet, man, no, I really appreciate it, thanks a lot. So we just went and picked that up today, and so I gotta send him thanks, man, for letting me get that. And I know Alana's real excited because we've had our bed for, it's gotta be like 10 years now. So yeah, a little change of bed and actually an upgrade because we previously had a queen size.
Yeah, it's a huge bed.
No, for sure. And thanks to Andy too for helping me move it, man. Got over there in the morning, picked it up, and then came over here and got ready to record the podcast. So, yeah, got me a new king-size bed. Never had a bed that big, so we'll see how it works out.
Make so it be like a king?
I hope so, man. It looks huge. So I didn't really have that huge of a problem with my queen size. I mean, obviously, when Junior would sleep with us because he's scared or whatever, it would get a little crowded with the three of us. But if it was just me and Alana, I think a queen, you know, it worked just fine. But, yeah, the king's is definitely going to be an upgrade in space. I heard it's like adding another twin size mattress to the end of it. So, yeah, it's gonna be cool to see.
Yeah, it's a huge bed, man. That's why when I picked it up, I was like, shit, this thing's huge.
It was heavy as hell, too, man. We could barely lift it off the floor. And then we just got it leaning in our living room right now while I take apart my queen size bed. But man, that sucker's huge, man. It's heavy. It's heavy. But other than that, man, I was at the mall the other day and we're just walking around, just kind of doing some general shopping. Or, you know, sometimes me and Alana go out for lunch or something and we're like, yeah, let's go walk off a little bit. We'll go walk the mall and not really do any shopping, but just walk around, window shopping. And I noticed every place, and maybe it's just me being dumb and I've never noticed it before, but every store had this buy one, get one for 50% off, or buy two shirts, get the third for 20% off, or, you know, it's like all these deals. And I was just like, how much does this really entice people? You know, you're already spending, let's say $10 for a shirt. And if you buy another $10 worth of shirt, you get that one for $8 or something. So it's enticing you to spend another $8 versus just the one shirt that you were probably planning to buy. So now you're buying two shirts. And so they're getting a few more bucks. And I'm like, that's kind of smart for these stores to do that, you know, to kind of entice you to spend a little more money.
So, but I mean, they do that shit all the time. I mean, like if you go to the outlet ones in Rosemont, they don't have buy one. It's just the whole store's like, the whole store's 50% off.
Yeah, I remember those. I remember, I guess I don't really shop a lot to begin with, you know. I have the same old pair of jeans that I had in high school, and until they fall apart, I keep wearing them. And so I don't really shop a lot, but when we were walking, I was just paying attention more. Or maybe it's that now that I'm an older adult, you know, I kind of have a closer eye onto sales and stuff like that. I don't want to just go spend money, you know, a lo pendejo or whatever, you know. So, you know, I see these sales and I'm just like, wow, man. I'm like, this is really a smart way for them to get people to spend a few more bucks, because you've enticed them to kind of in their head think, well, I'm losing out on this deal if I don't buy a second shirt. So let me buy a second shirt, even though it's going to cost me a few more bucks, because I'm going to save the 20% off, you know, by buying another shirt.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, they do stuff like that. Or the big thing now, if you want to go buy shoes, you are like a Foot Locker or Finish Line or whatever. Like, you get the shoes, and then they, you know, oh, you're buying shoes? Well, we could get you these socks. Normally, they're 18, but they're like half off now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, right? That's like the big thing. No, nah, I'm not interested. You sure, man? You need socks to go with the shoes? Blah, blah, blah. Nah. And, like, that's my biggest thing when they try to sell you other crap or, like, accessories. Like, I guess they have probably better margins on that than on the shoes.
Well, I'm sure that's part of it, but I think for the most part, most people see it as they're losing a deal. Like, they're actually losing money if they don't buy this next item. I know I'm a gamer, so I keep an eye out for those buy two, get one free used games that GameStop has. So if I go and they're having that special and I only buy one game, in my head, I'm thinking, man, if I buy two more, I'm getting one free and I'm going to miss out on this deal. And it's like I'm losing money. I'm losing this money they're trying to give me, this free game they're trying to give me. But they're like, you just got to pick out one more. You pick out one more and we're going to give you this free game. So
fall for that lie, Danny, to spend money.
Yeah. Yeah. So they get you to spend another 20, 30 bucks, you know, with the idea in your head that, like, I'm going to be getting one for free. But it's just their way of getting you to spend more money.
I'm hearing the side of, well, I had to get them. It was all on sale. I saved like $200, but you dropped like $1,000.
No, for sure, man.
And like, you can justify it. You can save all your money if you didn't buy anything. But and I guess that all depends on the individual person. Now, I don't know if like women gravitate that more to that, or men, or what kind of shopper. Obviously, that's geared to someone more than a shopper. I know they probably have like statistics on who's that geared towards. Like, did you see it when you went to the mall? Was it at a men's store, women's, or electronics?
I'm sure age is involved
and
as well.
Ages too, because obviously when you're younger, you don't give a fuck about price. You just buy shit.
It seems like a model that they're copying from a lot of other places. If you look, it's something that's becoming more common with our generation, I think. You look at McDonald's, you got the Super Size Me, right? So what's that about? You know, oh, hey, you can get this, you know, Happy Meal, whatever the hell. But if you spend another dollar, you supersize it.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. But they got rid of all that because all the shit they were getting for it, because people are saying it made you fat. So they changed the model up a little.
Slightly. It's still the same. I mean,
they still, like, now they give you small, medium, you know, the meals are small.
Yeah, it's not super sized, but not super the standard meal comes with the medium drink. Yeah. But if you pay another dollar, you get it upgraded to large.
It ain't the same, I guess, portion. Because you remember those things, the fries the super sizer's like, huge. Freaking 2 liter pop and stuff you can with it.
No, in terms of what you get, definitely it's decreased. But the model, the concept is still the same.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You pay a little extra, you get a little extra. Same thing goes with games. Steam, since I play on the PC versus console mainly, Steam will offer you like a bundle deal, and they get like this DLC, which is downloadable content and stuff you don't normally get, like art, whatever, you know, pictures and shit like that, director's commentary. Anyway, when you get all that, like, you can get it for like an extra $5, so it gets you enticed. You're like, man, if I don't spend this $5, what if this goes up in price later on and I want it? So I have to spend $20. I'd imagine for fashion it's the same way, where it's like, this, well, it's not for me, but for others, I could imagine they want a piece of clothing that's going to go vintage someday, and they're like, man, this is going to be worth something or whatever. Because who the hell knew Levi's jeans were going to be so fucking worth, like, valuable, you know?
Well, that's because I actually seen stuff on Levi's, like, if you have redline jeans, they're, like, worth a shitload of money and all this crap. Like, there's a line that they used in the old days where it had, like, a red stitching. And if you have those type of Levi's back in the old ones, those are, like, worth, like, a lot of money. So if you ever go to an estate sale and look if they have Levi's, see if they have that red line stitch. They're called red line jeans or something. Buy them up because you probably get, like, $200-$300 for each one.
Wow. Just for some jeans, man?
Yeah, because, you know, they're back. They're, like, original ones, and they were made in the U.S., like everything, and now nothing's made in the U.S. They're all made in like Mexico or something, or Indonesia.
Yeah. I'm not the biggest like an enthusiast of fashion. I mean, I don't mind, you know, dipping my foot in the pool, but Saul's mainly the one that's more the fashion guy.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I get my shit at the Segunda, man. You got some free pants, man. Hook them up.
Well, no, yeah, it's like all the stuff you buy like at Old Navy and all that. It's just, I mean, that's stuff that's never going to be like resellable. I mean, you can resell them, but I don't think it's going to be like name brand stuff like back in the day, like Levi's. Like Levi's is like American, dude. They invented jeans. Right? Yeah, that's why it's so popular, I guess.
Well, I don't know how much of it is for resale value, but to me, in my mind, I know, just like you said, Andy, people buy stuff just because they're like, well, I had to buy it because I had to get the sale. And I think it's that mentality that gets you to spend more money, because in your head you're thinking, I'm going to lose this sale if I don't buy these items, so I got to buy them. So it gives you that like false mentality, thinking that you're actually saving money when, you know, if you really think about it, you're spending an extra $10, you know, for something that you didn't really need, but you spent it because you wanted to save on it.
What it comes down to is all these stores, they all know their customer. They all know... through all their studies and all this, they already know when you walk in what price point you know you're going to spend on, and like what you're looking for, and what at the sales that they're realistically they're going to buy. What's going to get you enticed to buy that, because they have all this information. It's all numbers, and I've seen documentaries on that too, where they're like, they already have an idea. If you walk into the store, what kind of money you're going to spend.
No, for sure.
They already know their customer base, and they know how much you're going to drop. Like, that's why some stores offer coupons and all this, because they know, like, our customers like the coupons. We give them these coupons, they're going to come in and spend money.
Speaking of customers, it looks like Gmail is also worried about their customers. It kind of leads into our article here for this week, right, Daniel?
No, for sure, man. It just makes mention how Gmail and Chromecast, or the Chrome internet browser, how they're taking steps to try to help you, the consumer, out. And by telling you when the government, or they call it against government-backed cyber attacks. So I guess they're you know, insinuating that the government has websites out there that are there to target you. And, you know, kind of check out your history and stuff like that, you know, kind of get a sense of what you're doing on the internet. And so Google will give you actually a prompt telling you like, hey, we've been known that this is not a safe website. You know, it's you're susceptible to having your information stolen on here. And it says that the percentage of people that actually get this warning is very low, something less than 0.1%. But it would give you a full screen warning telling you that, hey, this website's been known to be targeted by government-backed hackers. You know, proceed with caution or whatever. And, you know, it's just trying to help the consumer, you know, kind of similar to how Apple maybe didn't want to help out the FBI, or I guess in the eye of the beholder. But to me, it's similar to how Apple didn't want to let the government, you know, into their phones, you know, but something similar.
They don't specify what government, right?
No, I guess that's true, too. It could be a foreign government, you know, maybe trying to steal your information. They didn't insinuate the U.S. government, but, you know, I guess I would, in my eyes, that's the way I thought about it. But you're right. It doesn't really mention just U.S. government. It could be any government.
Right. Any government. So, I mean, it's a good thing, but it would, you know, I don't know. It's a good thing in Gmail and Chrome, and everybody loves them. I use Gmail, and we use Gmail, and so it's a great tool. But I think if I would get that prompt, I think being like, I can get freaked out.
No, for sure. I mean, I know I've gotten the malicious website prompt on occasion. You know, hitting those hardcore sites I go to, but
but you use Chrome, and that's your main browser.
Chrome? Yeah, Chrome is my main browser that I use. Just because it's tagged to my Gmail account, and it just gives me emails about stuff that I'm surfing, you know, and I like that stuff. I like for it to be in tune with me. And then since it's linked to my phone, my house, everywhere I go, it'll tell me the sites that I've been surfing. It'll tell me searches that I've been using. When I open up my Google on my phone, it'll tell me the last five things that I searched. And it'll remember. So I kind of like that convenience. So I use Chrome for my website surfing. What about you, Noah? What do you use?
Right now I'm using Firefox. I've been using it for about over 5 years. Yeah, it's worked good. I mean, it runs quick on my system. It's made for 64-bit, which is what I have on Windows. So it runs smoother, gets updates frequently. I don't have anything against Chrome, though. I just don't try it.
Yeah, like the article says, Google is continuing to fight against state-sponsored attacks, showing a full-page warning when it thinks you're being targeted by a government-backed hacker. So, again, like, who is that? Who? How would they know they think it's... well, first of all, how would they know if it's a hacker?
Well, I imagine they're compiling a list of websites that are known to have this, you know, kind of like... There's a list of websites that are known to have malicious viruses and stuff like that. So it's some kind of generated list that Google has. And, you know, whenever you click on any of these X sites, it's going to give you a prompt telling you, like, hey, before you go in, just know that it's been known to be tracked by government hackers.
Well, real quick, you ever heard the conspiracy how Google got started?
Skynet, man.
Yeah, Skynet. It's supposedly the Russian guys were helped by Sergey, and I forgot the other guy's name. The guys who started Google, supposedly they got helped out a lot by, like, because the CIA had this or something, and they gave them some of the stuff to help them get it going. And it's some, they get a lot of their information from Google because all the algorithm stuff that they kind of, like, enhanced it and made it way better than they could. And that's why Google is, like, so big and so powerful, because they had, like, a hand from, like, somebody within the government. I think that it was, if I remember correctly, it was somebody in the CIA. Or the CIA helped them out a lot. But in return, they had to give them, like, a lot of information on people. And, you know, how Google loves their analytics and all this. They got all this crap that they keep, which is kind of scary. And, like, we were going to copy and back up everything. Everything you search under, we're going to keep forever. So... And they could, from there, they could gather the information from people. They think they might be dangerous or something.
No, for sure. I know for this podcast, I have our podcast search under a Google Analytics program that keeps track of the data, you know, people that click on our site, people that click on our episodes, and it gives you statistics telling you all that information. So Google does help us with that. And I imagine they have various things for other things, like you mentioned, you know, for government stuff.
Well, again, that's why I said that I know a lot of people don't know that the Google really works in hand with the government. It's not the first time that's been reported. I've read that in numerous types of articles, and then they're always asking for they want them. The Google wants to track more of like information about your house. Like, remember, I think we talked about it or an article where they wanted to monitor your water usage. Like, and like electric, they wanted to start like a utilities thing.
Wow.
I don't remember that. No. Yeah, they want, and then they wanted to use it like off of Wi-Fi and the internet where they could monitor your water usage. And then they're like, we'll help you how to reduce all that and we'll help you do that. And then people were like, why would Google want this? And some of it is one of the big conspiracies was that they want to control the usage that you have, because it'd be a lot easier than sending somebody to come and read the meter. I know they just, a lot of the utilities around here started using Wi-Fi and sending the signal over the internet. But I think because they're more experts on that, they would streamline it more, and they would have access to the information quicker.
No, for sure. I mean, it's kind of scary, but man, it's just technology. I think it scares you now, but then once you get used to it, it won't be that big of a deal.
Oh, I agree. I think Google itself is something that's essential right now for anybody just trying to learn and like find things out. Google's has so many searches, it's ridiculous. One of the things that got me thinking about Google recently was I was reading an article about this universal translator they're trying to get going. So this translator would be used by your average Joe or Jane, and you can use it in any country and communicate with anybody. And it's like an earpiece, almost like a Bluetooth, where you're talking to somebody. Let's say you're in France, right? And they're speaking French to you. It'll translate it, kind of like Star Trek, like the translator's there, and it translates to you, and you say something, it translates to them. So it's interesting, you know. It kind of reminded me of Google. Like, you could just say anything you want, and it'll come back to you with the answer you need.
Oh, yeah. I know in Star Trek, I think it was in the first one, Enterprise, the one with the Quantum Leap guy. Yeah. I forget that actor's name. In that one, they make it a point to show you how when they communicated with these new races, they actually used this onboard transmitter or translator that would translate it seamlessly to you so you would hear it audibly in the correct language. But originally, before that tech took off, they would just hear the native tongue and then they would try to figure out what it is that this guy's trying to say. But you know, now in the newer generation stuff, you know, it's kind of just seamless and everybody seems to be talking English, but in actuality a lot of these creatures are talking in their native tongue,
or they had a British accent
or yeah
for some reason.
But then they use this onboard translator that would translate seamlessly the native tongue into an English language that you would understand. So it was a real cool episode that they kind of went into that.
I wouldn't trust Google with Translate because I use their translating the application or whatever they have on their website, and it's not the best.
No, but they allow for you to improve it. Every time they translate something, it even has a little button that says, do you have any suggestions on how to improve the translation of this?
Get it right the first time.
So like if you're translating something in Spanish and you're kind of proofreading it, you can see it and be like, oh, this isn't right. You correct it, and then you press the suggestion button, and it'll send that to Google so that next time they translate that, they'll have more information or more variables to translate the sentence.
Yeah, definitely. I'm looking forward to see how this ends up growing. I'm going to keep my eye on that. It just started out recently, so it's something that's still, I think, in the works. To me, I think the best thing that can come about something like that is maybe developing a new language in general, I think. If we can have a universal language. Yeah, they had a project I heard the government was doing, but they canceled it for whatever reason.
Shatner. I'll send you they created a universal language like in the 60s, and Shatner did a movie in this new universal language. It just never took off.
Now, wow. The thing is, did the universal language take into account all the different languages that already exist?
I saw something about this a long time ago, and they took like all these language, like top languages from the world, and they made them onto like one. And Shatner was like really, I don't know if he was into it or what, but he shot a movie in this language. And he talked about it like some professor from like Europe invented this or something, and it just never took off. I want to say it was like in the 60s.
Wow. So is it like inventing like the Klingon language, or even the Star Wars? Star Wars has its own.
It wasn't Shatner, but it was like some guy who wanted, like, instead of having to learn all these different languages, he created one for everybody to learn, and that would be like wherever you go, if you don't know their language, you at least know this one. But it just never took off. Or it just, people thought it was dumb or something.
I think if this is going to be like a real idea, and I've thought about this a lot, I've meditated and tried to see, like, you know, I've had a deep question, like, will there ever be peace on this world? And if people can't communicate, I don't see how that's even possible.
Man, when Jesus returns, man.
In The Walking Dead, are you talking about?
Walking Dead is hysteria, man. It's mass death. But Jesus come back. Don't worry, man. Didn't he just announce aliens are coming? Or you can wait for the aliens to come.
Well, maybe. I'm not too sure yet. We'll see what happens with all that. But I just think in general, like, if there's going to be peace, it has to come through communication versus violence. And the only way to really have good communication is to understand the language. I think if we all made one language that uses all the existing languages, so it's easy for everybody to learn. It's not like based off of English, so that people are like, what the hell? Like, they have like a reason to not like it, you know, like if it's encompassing everybody, then nobody has a reason to dislike it. It's like it's including them.
There will never, humans will never stop fighting. So there's always going to be bullshit going on. It's just the best we could do, humanity, is be civilized to each other. But we're always going to fight.
Well, what if everybody was able to feel everybody else's pain? Because ultimately, that's what it is, right? It's like somebody lost somebody, so they want to get vengeance, and it's just an endless cycle of vengeance. It's a revenge.
Exactly. And how long has it been going on? And but from down to the dawn of man to this day, and we're more enlightened, and we're still fucking each other up.
I don't think we're enlightened at all, man. But I think we can get there. I think we can get there. People just, I'm no one special to say all this, but it's just thoughts that I have. So I'm just going to say it, you know. I think if everybody just stopped fighting and acknowledged everybody that they've lost and pay respect to those who have lost their lives, you can just stop the violence there. Just say, okay, you know, everybody's lost enough. Like, just stop and that's it. Live your own lives as peacefully as you can. Believe what you want to believe, but don't hurt anybody else for it.
Look at that, the Trump rally girl, where she just got pepper sprayed for punching that guy. And then they just disagree about one person, and look how people reacted. And, you know, that's what I'm telling you, the best we could be civilized. They weren't civilized, they were just screaming at each other, and supposedly like, he felt me up, and then she got sprayed. And like, that's a snippet of just something that's people should agree to disagree, and look how violent they got quickly.
I don't know if I just have never paid that close of attention to all these rallies before for past elections, but I gotta admit, this, all these rallies that they've been having, I've noticed how people hate so much the other side, regardless of who it is. You know, people that hate Trump, people that hate Hillary or Bernie or whoever it is, and it's just like, you know, just agree to disagree. Go support your candidate, but why go and disrupt the other candidate? That's what I'm not really understanding. Like, if I was going to go support my candidate, that's where I would go. I wouldn't go to the other guy's rally and go like, all right, let me go disrupt his shit because I want to go show how much I hate him. You know, I would go support my candidate and rally there and kind of show the people like, look, this is the better side. Everybody come over and, you know, get excited with me. Instead of going to the other side and spew a bunch of hate, you know, because you hate this guy, I just don't think that's the right way. I think it's like you mentioned a little bit, Noel. I don't know who you support or not, or maybe this isn't the time to talk about stuff like that. But
it's definitely not Trump. And I mean, I'm not too concerned with politics, dude. Like, it's not something I really spend a lot of time on. But I'm fearful for the future of this country, dude. I'm hoping everything turns out for the best. I think anybody that wins is going to bring a big change, and I'm just hoping it's a good one. We'll see.
You're hoping for it. You just want change for the sake of change, good or bad.
I don't want bad change, but I don't know if any of these guys can bring good change, or women. I don't know if any of the candidates can
all
bring
good
change.
All I know is, I'm not going off the rails here, but real quick on the rally, or like, I'm not Trump. I'm not a Trump supporter or anything like that, but I know they are attacking him because all of a sudden they keep changing the stories on him. And then, like, the new one this week, you know how Trump's always saying, like, America is not what it used to be. You know, we're losing jobs. We're losing the NAFTA fucked us up and all these trade agreements. Well, all of a sudden now, like this whole week, all of a sudden, you know, Trump is really kind of full of it. America's doing great. And let me show you why. And they're talking about all these jobs that came in here. And now they're talking about how America, like, in 5 years is going to be the number one manufacturing country in the world again. Because China is, they can't compete. Their people are pulling, the companies are pulling the factories out of there or something. And, you know, things are great. Or look at our unemployment rate. Like, how can they say that with all the crap that's going on right now? Like, I know, I still know people right now that ain't working. And they're still struggling. And how can they say that, like, things are great? So what they're, to me, that's telling me of, like, well, you know who made it like that? It was Obama. So he's a Democrat. If you like Democrats, you should vote for Hillary. And that's what kind of most of these articles are saying, that the policies that Obama laid in his tenure here, that it's that started all that. And, I don't know if it's true or not, but I just know things ain't good how they claim this. These articles are claiming it to be.
I kind of agree. I think the current pace that the country's going in, we're not seeing this massive growth like everybody might be insinuating. I know various jobs that are leaving. It's becoming more of, I don't know, like a high-tech place where it's not really fabrication. We're not fabricating or making components. And it's more like the service end of the industry.
That's the whole thing. It's the jobs. The jobs that are available, even if you're qualified for them, they're not that well paying. And let's say you have a bachelor's, right? Not everybody got bachelor's, but they get, they can't get the job that they want to, or they got to wait forever, and they got to do other things to pay the bills. Like, how many people try to be teachers? They're not teachers. They're doing other stuff in business or some other type of jobs. Or a lot of people, what they're doing, they're trying to be more entrepreneurial, you know, try to do stuff to start a business. And starting a business is hard, man. And some of them are doing all right, some of them are not. So it's skewed all over the place.
Yeah, I was reading this this thing earlier, how back in the 60s, it was such a different time where you could work 40 hours a week and every week, you know, until you're 60 and retire with a pension. You know, you'd have a house and all that, versus now you could work 40 hours a week and barely able to pay rent and utilities. And it's just the way that things are, and it's unfortunate.
Blame Obama.
No, I think it is very hard. I mean, nowadays, my dad got away with only him being the breadwinner, and I think we just did fine. You know, we were fine. You know, he was able to buy a house, grow four fucking hungry guys in the house that ate like horses.
Animals.
Yeah. I mean,
and I cheddar every day.
Literally, man. I mean, and it's expensive. Food's expensive. Yeah. So four adults, healthcare, clothes, school. He bought us our first cars. He helped pay for our colleges. So that was one breadwinner, man. And now to hear a story like that, to have one breadwinner supply for everybody in their household, it's almost unheard of, unless you're like this super, you know, executive somewhere. You know, you just can't do it anymore. Now both of you have to work. Now you have to pay for daycare. Now your kids are being raised somewhere else instead of the household. So, you know, what kind of future can we expect for these new kids coming up? So no, man, for sure it's real difficult. I don't know how or what we got to do. I don't profess to know all the answers, but it's difficult for
you,
sure.
You know who knows? Google, man. Ask them. Google has the answers to everything.
I'll try to Google it when we get out of this podcast.
Google solve our economic problems.
No, for sure.
All right, well, that's all we have for you today. I really do appreciate you coming and listening to us. Remember, you can follow us at Freeform Network on Facebook and Twitter at Freeform Network. And please send your questions, suggestions. We're always looking to hear back. It's ffnquestions@gmail.com. You can also visit our webpage at freeformnetwork.podbean.com. Don't forget 1893 Coalition. We have Intellectual Nonsense and Enthusiast Project. And also, you'll see our links for Stitcher, iTunes, and Podbean. And don't forget to subscribe and hit that like button. All right, everybody. Well, that's all we have for you today. This is Noel.
My name is Daniel.
And now I'm even more sadder, Andy.
Quit being sad, Andy, man. It's Sunday, man.
I know. WrestleMania Day.
Damn yeah. Right. And back to work tomorrow.
All right, everybody. Take care.
Thank you.
Dad.